A day we've been waiting for. The first COVID-19 vaccine shots were given in the U.S. today. We'll have more on the rollout. Plus, why traditional pharma companies haven't seen their stocks soar, even as the markets rally over the promise of a vaccine.
We've seen a pretty stark divergence between biotech and big pharma. And what's driving that is I think investors just believe that biotech has more to gain from a successful vaccine.
And hands off, new startups that want to help you kick the habit of touching your face. It's Monday, December 14th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The first U.S. COVID-19 vaccinations outside of clinical trials began today, kicking off the biggest immunization effort since polio shots were distributed in the 1950s. Sandra Lindsay, a critical care nurse at Long Island Jewish Medical Center in Queens, was the first person in New York to receive the Pfizer-BioNTech shot. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo spoke with the nurse virtually afterwards.
I take it that Dr. Chester has a good touch.
She has a good touch, and it didn't feel any different from taking any other vaccine.
Pfizer is shipping states nearly 3 million doses in the first wave of deliveries, with more expected in the coming weeks. The company expects 25 million doses will be available in the U.S. by the end of this month. Drug maker Moderna says it's also seeking U.S. authorization for its vaccine, which could come as early as this week. The vaccine comes as the nation surpassed another grim milestone today. The U.S. death toll from COVID-19 has now surpassed 300,000, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. The Electoral College has reaffirmed Joe Biden as president-elect. With 55 electoral votes from California, Biden crossed the 270-vote threshold needed to win the White House late this afternoon, according to an Associated Press tally. The outcome comes as President Trump and many Republicans continue to dispute Biden's victory. After voting wraps up today, the next step comes on January 6th, when Vice President Mike Pence is expected to preside over a joint session of Congress, where the electoral totals are read out loud and a candidate is declared the winner after reaching the 270-vote threshold. We're learning more about the suspected Russian hack of U.S. government agencies, as well as private businesses. As early as March of this year, customers of U.S. network management company SolarWinds began unwittingly installing malicious software as part of a routine update for one of its products. That update contained what investigators called a backdoor that could have granted easy access to nearly 18,000 entities that downloaded it. Our cybersecurity and intelligence reporter Dustin Volz has more.
This is a very significant breach. The only question is sort of how significant it is, and is it going to count eventually when all is said and done as one of the worst cyber breaches on record? Someone I spoke to yesterday told me that on a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of severity, this ranks as a 10. And the expectation is that in the coming days and weeks, we're probably going to learn about a lot more government agencies that were breached, as well as potentially, you know, any number of private networks ranging from defense contractors to accounting firms to, you know, major companies and all sorts of industries that would be potentially relevant to the hackers.
The Russian embassy in Washington has denied responsibility and said the allegations were unfounded attempts of the U.S. media to blame Russia. The Justice Department has reached a civil settlement with the United Auto Workers Union in a multi-year corruption investigation that led to the imprisonment of several former labor leaders. The sprawling probe exposed what federal prosecutors describe as a culture of corruption among the union's leadership built around kickback schemes, embezzlement, and other illicit activities. The deal calls for court oversight of the union to prevent future fraud. The UAW has also agreed to change the way it elects top leadership, according to people familiar with the terms of the agreement. And we report exclusively that Boeing has expanded inspections of its new 787 Dreamliners after finding a previously disclosed manufacturing defect in sections of the plane where it hadn't been detected initially. That's according to industry and government officials. Boeing engineers and U.S. air safety regulators say the defects don't pose an immediate safety risk. Further delays in delivery of the jets could put more financial strain on Boeing. Coming up after the break, why biotech companies are soaring and big pharma is not. All eyes have been on pharma companies like Pfizer and AstraZeneca in the past few months as the world's waited for a COVID-19 vaccine. That's rallied shares of the biotech companies behind the vaccines. But what will those stocks look like once the initial enthusiasm peters out? And what about the big pharma companies that are mobilizing a lot of resources to bring the vaccine to market? For more, we turn to markets reporter Caitlin McCabe. Hi, Caitlin. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Caitlin, can you talk about the performance of vaccine stocks over the past few months generally, and especially now as we're rolling out the first FDA-approved COVID-19 vaccine in the U.S.?
So since the pandemic started, and especially back in February and March when we saw the stock market tumble, we saw investors really putting their money in a lot of vaccine makers, especially biotechnology companies, some of which were coming out very early on to announce that they were going to try to develop a vaccine. And so, and that makes sense, you know, investors were looking to put their money in places that would stand to benefit from the work from home era, stand to benefit during a pandemic. And so you saw a lot of these biotech companies see these massive gains throughout the year. Moderna, which we now know is expected to probably have second vaccine to hit the market, is up over 700% this year. Novavax, which is another vaccine competitor, is up over 3,000%. Whereas big pharma companies like a Pfizer or an AstraZeneca just haven't seen the same surge in share prices. You know, Pfizer, despite having the first vaccine rolling out today, has actually trailed the broader market this year.
So that's an interesting split there. Can you explain more about why we're seeing that, why traditional pharmaceutical companies are not seeing as much of a boost as biotech companies?
So you're right. We've seen a pretty stark divergence between biotech and big pharma. And what's driving that is I think investors just believe that biotech has more to gain from a successful vaccine. A lot of these biotech companies typically operate with net losses. They're typically, you know, some of them have never brought a successful vaccine or product to market. And so to be able to put out a vaccine very quickly gives investors a lot of hope that, you know, these companies have more room to grow. So Moderna, for example, which has risen over 700%, you know, I think investors are seeing the success or the expected success that Moderna has had as a validation of all the research that they've been putting in for the last few years. Big pharma, on the other hand, you take a company like Pfizer, you know, last year it booked more than $50 billion in revenue. And so investors just don't see a successful vaccine as fundamentally changing Pfizer's business model.
And what about the hopes that mRNA technology, which is being used in Moderna and Pfizer's vaccines, could have broader applications outside of the COVID-19 vaccine? How much is that playing a role in investors' minds?
So I think right now investors are actually facing this really interesting question where you've seen this massive run-up in share prices for a lot of these biotech companies, and they're wondering if these companies can repeat the same success with other products in their pipeline. So Moderna, for example, has several products that rely on this mRNA technology. They're trying to develop a vaccine against the Zika virus, for example. And so I think investors, in order to really stay interested in these companies, are going to need to see more products rolled out in order to justify these massive share prices that they've seen this year.
Now, we've talked about the gap between stock performance among biotech companies and traditional pharma companies. Could a successful vaccine rollout help boost the traditional companies and boost investor enthusiasm as we see this roll out over the next couple of months?
That's a really interesting question. And I think that's something that analysts and investors are trying to forecast right now. I mean, so far, we haven't seen, from a reputation perspective, this is great from Pfizer. But again, their share price has trailed the broader market this year. And so investors, when they're investing in the stock market, are typically looking 3 or 6 or 12 months out. And so, you know, some analysts are saying that perhaps investors are already kind of moving on from the success of a vaccine. You know, you saw this run up in share prices over the summer and even earlier this year because people and investors were wondering, you know, when will the economy open back up? When will we have a successful vaccine? Now we have that answer. And so investors might actually already be looking ahead to, you know, the transition to the Biden administration, for example, or events that are going to be happening, you know, 6 or 12 months down the line. So it's hard to say right now. It's definitely something that everyone in the investment community is talking about, but I don't think anyone really has the answer right now.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Caitlin McCabe. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, since March, doctors have been reminding us to keep our germy hands away from our faces to prevent getting or spreading COVID-19. But let's be honest, most people are still biting their nails, twirling their mustaches, and rubbing their eyes. Our reporter Ellen Byron says people are trying all sorts of things to help kick the habit. Perfume, hypnosis, and entrepreneurs have also developed some devices.
I did speak with a woman who is a co-founder of a high-tech device, and it looks a lot like a fitness watch. When the hand goes near your face, this bracelet vibrates to bring awareness to that habit. And that really is one of the core challenges of changing this habit. It's that often our hands move toward our face without us even realizing. And it's hard to change an unconscious habit like that. And so step one is really making yourself aware that you do it. And then step two is finding some other action for your hands.
We've got more tips, including some low-tech solutions, on our homepage, WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.